Radio 1 Podcast.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1. Now.
The Scott Mills Daily.
This is BBC Radio 1 with Scott Mills. Becky and Chris are here. Hello.
Hello.
Right. To the right of me is something that has never been in this studio before. In all my time that I've worked here, I've never seen a plant in the Radio 1 studio. And it's got its own stool. And it's just sat right next to me now. Looks like a normal plant, but I'm suspicious of it.
Why?
Have you ever seen that before?
No, but there's stuff in here all the time that we never see before. Like, people bring stuff in, take it out. There's always weird stuff in the studio.
We've never had a plant in here. Do you know what kind of plant that is? You're good with plants.
Is it like one of those peace lily ones?
Hasn't got any flowers or anything. I mean, it's no, there's no, it's real reason.
Green plant. I thought for a minute it was one of those illegal plants. And that would have been bad. Yeah. Like, have that on the webcam. Brilliant. Who's been growing this?
It's not hot enough in here, is it?
You can make it hot enough. Who knows what Annie Mac's been doing of an evening? You just have to press that button and it just go hot.
It's a lily.
You've got the right lights
for it. The flowers
in
the middle.
Well.
The flowers in the middle.
I think it's some kind of bugging device. I do. Yeah. I think, because a lot of stuff gets said in this studio.
You think it's a newspaper?
Is it the plant equivalent of the fake shake?
I think it might be, yes.
We'll have a look and see if you can see the little camera.
See, there's like a... There's a bit that goes higher than the rest. And
that's
kind of,
that's
is that the microphone?
Flower. That's the flower.
Hang on. Hello? 1, 2...
It's just a normal plant.
I'm not being funny, Becky, but the newspapers would love this. You know how we talk behind their backs, all the other Radio 1 DJs? How we talk about Greg and Fern behind their backs? They would love all that gossip. It would fill pages. So it makes sense for them to just try and sneakily put a plant in here when we're not noticing, just to the right of me here, then they get all their gossip.
Well, it's not very subtle, is it? It's a very big plant on a bright red stool.
Well, it's making me paranoid. Can we put it in Westwood Studio?
Oh, God.
Actually, no. Actually, don't.
Send it in. Let's send it in as subtly as we can.
Can we get rid of that, please? It's making me nervous.
Going to Westwoods?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Just open the door and just push it in.
One that doesn't speak is now delivering the...
That's amazing.
..the bugging device to Westwood Studio over at our friends at BBC Radio 1 Extra.
He's just rolled it in.
Good luck. Now, I saw Joe Wiley on Friday night.
Oh, I'm so sad I didn't wake up for that.
I did pass on your hi.
Oh, thank you. It was her leaving party, wasn't it, on Friday night? But because we did breakfast show last week, I went home and then fell asleep and didn't wake up until, like,
yesterday.
Sunday morning. Yeah.
No, it was a really, really nice thing. Loads of people turned up, a lovely spread. Joe looked hot. And at the end of it, I ended up sharing a cab with one of the wombats.
Oh, wow.
Back into central London. The Wombats, one of them, and Greg James.
Showbiz.
Now, do you know all the names of the Wombats? Because I don't.
I think, is it Tord?
Yeah,
I might know him.
That's not a real name.
He's Norwegian.
Tord.
Well, this poor bloke who was there from Wombats, really nice guy, but I'm convinced that somebody earlier in the evening, I think Joe Wiley, had told me that his name was Marv.
Is it not?
No, this is the problem. I was calling him Marv all evening.
Oh, right.
Even to the point where Marv was delaying the cab driver, and the cab driver was like, come on, mate, come on. So I go, Marv! Get in the cab, Marv! Marv! Now, Greg James is in the cab with me and is just giggling. Now, at the time, I didn't realise why. He knew his name wasn't Marv.
What, and just let you carry on?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
His name's Murph, not Marv.
Murph.
So, Greg didn't correct me until the end of the cab journey. Right at the end, as I got out, he's like, right, see you next week, see you next week or whenever. And he's like, by the way, his name's not Marv.
Did he not say anything? Did Murph not say anything at all?
No, because he's a very polite man. I was calling him Marv really loudly. for the whole journey and the whole evening before that at Joe Wiley's thing.
Because you like to use people's names as well, don't you?
I do.
You're one of those people, because some people don't do it, but you're one of those people that's like, yes, Becky, no, Becky.
I do like to do that.
Like that top Becky. Yeah, you do use people's names, which I think is a nice touch. But
thank you.
Quite embarrassing in that situation.
Makes people feel special, you know?
Yeah, it does.
So that's what I was trying to do to Marv, only that's not his... Exactly, Murph. Yeah. So I'm really sorry, I nearly called you Marv again. Sorry, Murph, because I just didn't know.
There's a news agent down my road, right, called Bob, and really nice bloke. And I went to school with his daughter, but he thinks I'm called Michael. So whenever I go in, he's
why
like...
Why does he think you're called Michael?
I don't know, it's just this started years ago, and I feel too... I'm sure I've said this before, I'm too embarrassed to say that he's wrong. So whenever I go in, I've always got to look in the window and check that he's not there with the wife, because the wife knows I'm called Chris. So I go in, and he's like, hello, Michael. And I'm like, all right, mate, how are you? All good?
So you look through the window first to make sure his wife's not there?
Yeah.
To avoid the embarrassing, hi, Chris, hi, Michael, at the same time?
Yeah. And it's really, really awkward when I go in and he's there, and I'm like, I quickly go get Toffee Crisp, quickly. And the wife comes strolling out and is like, all right, Chris, how are you? And then there was this one time where I saw him look at her as if he was confused, like really confused at what was going on, but I just walked out. Hello, Michael. And I can't see for why he would be calling me Michael. There's no real reason for it. How do I subtly tell him without insulting him, though? Because that's the problem you have, is I don't want to go up to him after him calling me this for sort of 20 years and me go, all right. It's Chris, you know?
I think once it goes past a certain time, you are stuck with that name for the rest of your life. You can't... I don't think you can do it now. It's too late.
What are you going to do with the guy from the Wombats? Are you going to go back to his proper name, or are you going to follow through with this and call him Merv, or whatever you've been calling him?
I think I'm just going to have to stick it out now. There's only one thing to do, and just convince him that his name is Marv.
I can edit them. Shall I edit their Wikipedia?
Can you?
Yes.
Yeah, if I just do edit now and change it to Marv.
Just change it to Marv, and then he'll start to believe it.
And what shall I do with Bob? Follow through or tell him?
I don't think you can do it. I think it's too late. What about when we get our documentary called It's Chris commissioned on the TV?
In the on the titles at the end, we'll just have to put Chris,
played by Michael.
Radio 1 podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Hey, Phil.
Hello, Scott.
You right?
Yeah, not bad. Are you?
Yeah, I'm very good, thank you. Are you at work? Are you at home yet?
No, I've just got home. Been listening to you in the car.
Sweet. Okay. We're just talking about the different names that you get called. It's just sometimes easier not to correct them, you know?
Yeah.
What's your one?
The guy down in the chip shop calls me Dave. I used to work with a woman who calls me Neil, because I look like Neil from The Young Ones.
Right.
Guy down the pub, she calls me Paul.
Right.
And I was talking to some girl Saturday night, she just called me Rick. Just that.
But
just easier to let him carry on.
Right, so you now have several different names. In the chip shop, you're called Dave.
Yeah.
In the pub, you're called Paul.
Yeah.
Where you used to work, you were called Neil.
Yeah.
And then you met a girl on Saturday night. Did you not say, my name's Phil?
I'd sort of left it to it, to be honest. As long as I'm not being numbered, I don't mind.
Right, so she just made up a name for you and you went along with it.
Yeah.
So, was it Rick, yeah? Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's it. That's my name, yeah.
Yeah, that would be.
So are you just responding to any name now because it's easier?
Yeah, pretty much. Right. As long as it's not a girl's name either. That'd be a bit worrying.
All right, well, thanks, Bob.
Yeah, cheers, mate.
And speak to you later.
See you in a bit.
Have a good very confusing. I love you. Radio 1 Podcast. I was going through my notes on my phone earlier. Do you write notes in your phone, anybody?
Yeah, I do that quite a lot, actually.
Something that seems like a brilliant idea at the time, you're like, oh, I'm going to write that down. I'm going to write that down. And then you look back and it's like, what does that mean?
Didn't Alan Partridge used to write notes on his phone?
Did he?
Or he used to dictate them, didn't he? Be like, message for Lynn.
Lynn.
And then he'd like write amazing radio ideas like Monkey Tennis and stuff.
All right. So I am turning into Alan Partridge.
I think you are.
I tend to just write songs that I want to download.
Or go on. Yes.
This will be interesting.
Oh, no.
Take a phone off.
No, don't delete.
Don't delete it. Just show the car.
What's this? Oh, my God. Right. Who's putting Are these serious ones? Are these ones you've just put
no,
in?
No, no, no. Some of them are business ideas for me on Dragon's Den.
Right. The 1st of October, 2010, it just says Margaret the Apprentice.
We know why that's in
and
there.
And that's underneath massages.
This
and this
needs
one
explaining.
Just says, this one just says, chat up Becky.
No. No, 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 no.
Chat
no.
up Becky.
No.
Pick... Oh.
It's an idea.
Oh, okay, yeah, that was what we used when he was doing the game with Dan.
Yes.
Thank God for that. It just says, chat up, Becky.
No, it's not like a to-do list.
Well, this is what it looks like.
No, there's a load of songs on there, and then there's business ideas. That's the majority of it.
Oh, this is a good one. Pizza buffet challenge.
Yeah, and ideas.
I don't want to look at Super Sweet 60th.
That's a brilliant idea, Chris.
Thank you. I'm going to try and get that one commissioned, I think.
What's Girls Prefer Willies? Girls Prefer Willis.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
There are always some that you just don't know what they mean.
There's one in there about my game that I want to make called Man Points. I just found that.
What's that?
It's a board game called Man Points. I don't know.
We've got it all going on.
Why is there one called George Michael Killer?
These tend to be quite late at night, I think.
Old Chris Moyle's recordings.
Right, put his phone down now. This is not nice.
Money to check. Going for What's my this phone? One? Jamie Oliver pouting fish fingers. Channel 4 fish fight. This is Alan Partridge.
This is Alan Partridge. Fish fight.
Change Becky's Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah. that was a to-do list.
Why have you got so many things about me in it?
Oh, I get
and
told.
You've got a download a Nisloppy.
Thank you.
That's the number
I like this game a lot.
What, steal Chris's phone and read it out?
I don't.
That reminds me, I must download the JCB song.
And change Becky's Wikipedia. What are you going to write on it?
We've got the voice of the tweets to read out some of the weirdest ones in my phone.
So we can work out whether these are just random thoughts, programme ideas or your to-do list.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Milan, Peach, Angela.
I have no idea what that means.
To-do list. This is you on a holiday to Milan with Peachy Ange. Who's
Milan,
not...
Peach, Angela.
Do you know anyone called Angela?
Only my old bank manager. But I wouldn't go on holiday to Milan with Ange. I haven't spoken to her for ages.
You have a catch-up.
Oh, hi, Ange.
In Italy?
It's Scott. You know I don't bank with you anymore. Well, I thought we could go to Milan on holiday.
And eat peaches.
Just so that, you know, we can catch up and talk about, I don't know...
Milan,
my
Peach,
balance.
Angela.
I don't know what that means. Anybody...
It does sound like an Alan Partridge show idea, though, doesn't it? You could just imagine him on his dictaphone or you sitting there going, note to self, new
Milan
TV show
Peach
for BBC Three, Milan Peach Angela, where I, Scott Mills, take a lady called Angela to Milan for some peaches. And drinks and we can find out what it's like to be gay.
It sounds like a feature on The One Show. Don't you think?
Could be Angela Griffin.
Could be.
Because she's the kind of person that would be on The One Show, isn't she?
Peaches girled off.
Oh, yeah.
OMG, I'm in Milan with Scott and Angela Griffin. And here's Alid.
It's more ITV2, I think, that one.
Don't rule it out.
Here's the next one that's in my phone. What does this note mean?
Gravy boat.
Gravy boat.
Now, that is Alan Partridge, isn't it? Because one of the lights, he is... You're all on the BBC gravy boat. I'm sure that's one of the
gravy lights. Train.
Gravy train.
Oh,
gravy boat.
I'd love to be on a BBC gravy boat. What is a gravy boat, please?
It's a gravy jug.
Next one.
Fart a lot on planes.
Oh, yes, this is true. This is true. If you, like, I don't even need to know what this is about. It's just a statement, isn't it? People do fart a lot on planes.
Fart a lot on planes.
It sounds like this is something that you wanted to talk about on your show, probably.
I know I certainly do.
But if you see what happens to... If you've got, like, a half-drunk water bottle and you look what happens to that on a plane, there's got to be some serious weird stuff going on.
What do you mean?
Because if you have a water bottle and you go on a plane, it, like, goes...
Does it?
And, like, sucks it really small, doesn't it?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, like, no all, way. Like, goes really compact.
So that's what it's doing to your inside.
Well, I think so, yeah. So then you end up getting a bit gassy.
I don't know.
Like, if you went up high enough on a long enough plane journey, would you eventually just go... Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, like when you got a balloon and you just sort of let go.
I don't know. But that was just a statement in my phone. We all know that was.
Yeah.
And here's the last one that perplexed me for a while.
Bubbly! Bubbly!
What?
Bubbly.
Bubbly!
Are you buying someone champagne?
No. I have an irrational hatred of that word.
Bubbly?
Yeah. when people describe...
are slightly fat and then they say they've got a bubbly personality.
No, I don't mind that that use of bubbly.
That's what people say about me all the time.
Oh, she's very bubbly.
And that means fat and laughs a lot. It does. Bubbly personality means she's not the best looking, but she's a bit bigger and she laughs a lot.
It's true. You say someone's bubbly when they're not the best looking.
In what context don't you like bubbly? In like champagne or like in personality?
When it's used as a word for champagne.
Oh, that's so 80s.
I don't know why I don't like it, but
80s.
I really don't like it. It's like, and you come in and you get a free glass of bubbly. Ah! Oh, I hate it. I really don't like it. I'm sorry if you say the word bubbly, but just say champagne.
What about champers?
Bubbly.
I think that's a bit weird, to be honest with you.
You got a free glass of bubbly.
No!
What's wrong with that?
I don't like it. You wouldn't turn down a free glass of bubbly if someone called it bubbly, I'm telling you.
Yeah, we went down the club and we did the raffle and won a bottle of bubbly.
It's true, though. If you win it in a raffle, you always say bubbly, don't you? You don't call it champagne. You always call it, I won a bottle of bubbly.
That is true. Radio 1 Podcasts. Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcast. Scott Mills on Radio 1. Hiya, back in the afternoon. Becky's here.
Hello.
And my mate Chris is here.
Hello.
Got some exciting news. I can't believe they've asked us to do this. Guess what we have been commissioned to make.
Oh, brilliant. Have you managed it?
What?
Get my thing commissioned, my documentary.
It's Chris. No, it's not Chris.
It's not that. But we have been asked to make a new documentary.
Right.
On what?
It's Becky.
No. You know Radio 1 Stories on a Monday night?
Mm.
Tonight, it's the A to Z of Pete Tong. Because Pete Tong is celebrating 20 years on Radio 1.
Pete Dong Lol.
Pete Dong Lol. So...
is thinking... D for Dong? What? Because I really hope it is.
D is for Dong.
I'll have to listen tonight to find out.
And L is for Lol.
Is P for Pete?
I'd hope so.
I love those A to Z's. They're brilliant. They Who are. Decides what letters what?
So is it going up to M tonight? Is that halfway M?
Yeah, I think... Oh, no, we're going to have to find out in the next one if P's for Pete.
Yeah. So it's the A to M of Pete Tong. Oh, tonight from 9 o'clock on Radio 1 Stories. In a few weeks' time... we are doing Radio 1 Stories, and it's the story of Lady Gaga. That's the one we're making.
So is that... but that's L. That's... isn't this meant to be tonight, then?
What?
No. Am I missing something here?
Yes.
L for Lady Gaga.
Chris, this is a completely different show. It's nothing to do with Pete Tong.
Oh, right.
Okay?
Oh, yeah. Ooh, what am I thinking?
Right.
Sorry.
So this is the... hello. The story of Lady Gaga. It's a completely different thing, and it's on in a few weeks' time.
Wicked.
So... obviously, she's playing at Radio 1's big weekend, so it's in
but
the lead up to that.
Oh, yeah, that won't have happened by the time we've got to submit our documentary.
Exactly.
How's that going to work, then? So you've got to dress up? She's got to be
sorry,
in it.
Chris, is... right, is Chris okay today,
I
Scott?
Don't know. Are you all right, Chris?
I'm all right, yeah.
Right,
but if Lady Gaga's...
right, we're making a radio documentary, so we don't need to dress up.
Good and point.
We're not meeting Lady Gaga until after our show's gone out.
It's called The Story of Lady Gaga, so it's her story.
Oh, so right, we can talk about, well, like, when we met her at the Brits and stuff, and...
Yeah. I wouldn't probably go big on that.
That was good. She enjoyed a game of giant Jenga with us.
Yeah, she did. We have to put that in the story somewhere, surely.
We have to say at the end.
What happened.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think they want us to do this, and they've asked us, and it is an honour. Thank you, Radio 1. I think they've asked us because we've done all the interviews before.
When you say us, do you mean you, but you don't want to do all the work yourself, so me and Chris now are part of it?
I've never met her.
No, I want to include you in this.
Oh, which bits? All the editing and all the scripting and all the...
Mm. Now, I have dug out the first interview that we ever did with Lady Gaga, and this is across the whole of Radio 1. This is the first time she appeared live, and it's around about the time of Just Dance.
Yes, I remember when she came in. She was amazing.
She was very hyperactive.
Yeah.
Listen to how I introduce her. It's only Blue Friday, it's 4:42. Look, it's Lady Gaga, hi!
Hey, yay, I'm here.
Yeah, you are clapping yourself. You are clapping yourself, Lady Gaga.
Yay, I'm here.
Yeah, you are clapping yourself. That was a bit rude.
You couldn't sound more disinterested. You're like, yeah, it's only Blur Friday, it's only Lady Gaga. Well, stop clapping yourself, love. Right, let's get on with it.
I'd never heard of her.
Yeah, she was the same as Little Boots then, wasn't she?
She was the same as Little Boots
no
then.
No different.
You're absolutely right, Chris.
I think.
She was. I didn't know who she was. I didn't know she was going to become the world's biggest pop star. Look, it's Lady Gaga. Hi.
Hey, yay, I'm here.
Yeah, you are clapping yourself.
I'm clapping for you.
How are you?
I'm just happy to be here.
Oh, you're actually really excited, aren't you?
Yeah, Scott, I mean, really, it's like crazy. You guys added the record, I think, in November, so much earlier than...
We love it.
The US took freaking forever. I'm like, everyone keeps saying, oh, is the UK, you know, are they late? Because the you know, it's been in the US for a while, and I said, no, it's the US that's late.
She sounds really chatty. Sounds really nice in that, actually.
She was genuinely excited to be here. However, this is my favourite bit of the interview that I found. Listen.
I will do anything for Radio 1.
Wow.
Got that down.
I will do anything for Radio 1.
She did it the Brits.
She did. She did more than any of us were expecting.
Is this story going to be in the documentary?
It has to be. We can't ignore it.
I think I've said it before, haven't I?
It's the best thing that's happened to us with Lady Gaga being there. So why would we not say it?
Is there video of this? I can't remember if you said. Is there video evidence of
this? See, here's the thing. I can't remember what we did and didn't say now, so I'll leave it up to you, Becky. You can't remember either?
I remember you saying that there was a video of said incident that got destroyed. I don't know how you describe it, though, the said incident.
I accidentally filmed Lady Gaga's bits.
Yeah. This all started because we had, in the Brit studio that day, at the Brits, we had a giant Jenga.
Mm. And everyone that was coming in to be interviewed, you got them to take a piece out. We're having a big old game. But Gaga didn't want to do that. And do you remember the picture? She had that sort of flesh-coloured leotard on that was quite highly cut.
Yes.
And rather than getting up to take a piece out of the Jenga, she was sat on the sofa next to you and did a massive big old kick.
Basic instinct.
Yeah, she kicked the Jenga.
Level, and I was obviously filming, and then...
Whoa.
Yeah.
I will do anything for Radio 1.
Thanks very much. Do you know why she said, I'll do anything for Radio 1?
No.
On this interview? It was a long time ago. I completely forgot about this. Listen to what she promised to do. Now, here's where you could help us.
Ta-da!
Because we do need to write a song soon.
Oh, gosh.
Right? We want to... Do you know the Eurovision Song Contest?
Okay.
Do you know this?
Yes.
It's an amazing array of talent from all over Europe. And we want to enter for the country Moldova. Not because Britain never win it.
So oh, really?
We're not going to enter for the
Because we're not very popular.
They don't like us.
Well, you know what? I will do anything for Radio 1.
So, there we are.
So she agreed to write our Eurovision entry for Moldova?
Yeah. And like I say, I've still got that down here, as you heard it. It's right there.
And you never chased it up?
No, because I completely forgot about it. But she is still legally obliged to write the song, which is our entry for Moldova in the Eurovision Song Contest at some point.
Oh, this will work really well in the documentary then, because we could have, at the end of the documentary, the amazing world premiere of Gaga's song for Moldova. Oh.
It's a story of how, you know, a girl from New York went from rags to riches to be like the biggest megastar on the planet and then went to doing next year's entry for Moldova in the Eurovision Song Contest.
I will do anything for Radio 1.
Podcast. And now, let's go on to Stupid Street. Yay! Smooth Talking Dan is back after the amazing success of Smooth Talking Dan Sleaze, where he went through the newspapers for us and gave us the hot stories last week when we were doing the Chris Moyle show. He's back in his natural home, Stupid Street. Now imagine they were going to make a movie of your life, okay? Well, Chris, you're already doing that, aren't you, really?
Well, yeah, kind of, yeah.
With your Fly on the Wall documentary. It's Chris. But imagine if it was like a proper film and not just you and your mate Dougsy messing around in Pinner.
Don't put it down, Scott.
Imagine if it was like proper Hollywood film. A bit like this, I don't know whether it's Hollywood, but it's a proper film. Do you know the William and Kate film that's going to be on TV soon?
I cannot wait.
I bet.
It's an amazing made-for-TV film.
Yeah, it's a TV movie.
My favourite ones.
And obviously they're not playing themselves, they've got actors.
obviously.
They were too busy. Got the trailer here.
He's just a guy.
He's just a guy
who happens to be the future King of England.
Lifetime viewers are going to get a great love story.
Will is struggling to be a normal guy.
I just want to keep our relationship private.
He's asked a lot of her in terms of sacrificing.
I love you.
I love the you no one gets to see but me.
You're romantic at heart. You've got to love it.
Oh, I cannot wait for that.
Are you serious?
Yes.
It's brilliant. Have you seen that trailer? There's an amazing bit where she's in the bath with her wine.
It sounds awful. I really hope there's some football on.
It's like the Queen. Did you see that? I loved that. With Helen Mirren.
That was a bit more serious than this,
I think.
Was it? Yeah. Oh. I don't think Michael Sheen's in this one.
All right. Well, I can't wait for the Wills and Kate one anyway. So... if they would,
I'd love it if Helen Mirren was in this one as well, because that would be immense.
Do you not think they could have probably afforded for this one? It's not going to any movie theatres, is it?
No, I think it'll be straight to Doovd within, like, a bit on DVD.
Straight on the Doovd. Yeah. Now, if they were going to make a movie of you, who would play you? Even if it's a TV movie.
Me?
Yeah.
Easy.
Who?
Well, who do you think?
Matt Lucas.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going opposite sex, doesn't matter.
What? It doesn't matter. He's the best person for the part, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have someone that looks like you.
Yeah.
Who would play you?
Ellen DeGeneres. Chris, who would you want to play you?
Well,
who would play you?
I'd like Bruce Willis.
Okay. Now, do you think, when we asked that question on Stupid Street, do you think everyone would go for people who looked a bit like them, or do you think they went for the cool actors? Dan asked six people. Who would play you in the movie of your life? Remember, we're on Stupid Street here. I will give you 20 Scott Mills points if you can name any of the people they said.
Jennifer Aniston. Because I think if Matt Lucas was busy, she could do me.
Okay.
Cameron Diaz.
Yeah.
That would be my third choice. Sorry, I'm still trying to think of ones for me. People on Stupid Street. Brad Pitt's got to be in there.
Okay.
Well, hang on, give me a chance. Bruce Willis.
Yes.
And Tom Cruise. I'll just take those two.
Just those two?
Yeah, that'll do.
Okay, then.
And, I just wanted to say Alan Sugar as well.
For you?
No, not for me. I'm thinking of Stupid Street.
Oh, okay, right, cool. I was going to say.
Now, that would be a movie.
Good. So, Smooth Talking Dan's out on the streets, and he says to six people, who would play you in the movie of your life?
If there's a film made about your life,
yeah.
Who would play you?
Natalie Portman,
yeah. Good. She's pretty hot.
She's
so
hot. Not saying I'm hot, but...
I'd probably say Renee Zellweger.
Okay, why her?
Because I just like her acting. I think she's really pretty.
Okay. I was thinking Barbara Windsor for you.
Yeah, actually. That'd be quite good, actually. Yeah, she'd be quite good.
Babs.
Yeah. Babs, yeah, I could do the Babs.
There's something with the Babs about you, actually.
Oh, God.
I know what he's doing.
Yeah, I think he might have... trying to put some of the rules of the game in there. Now, I think a lot of people would say Natalie Portman, because they're just choosing hot people, aren't they?
Mm.
I like how Dan is suggesting somebody maybe a bit more suitable for the role. Okay, next.
What's your name?
Amy.
Who would play you in a film about your life?
Fern Cotton or something.
Fern Cotton?
A little bit of Fern Cotton.
Fern Cotton?
Fern Cotton or something.
Fern Cotton.
Now, is he saying Fern Cotton because she doesn't look anything like her, that girl? Or is it Fern Cotton because you want someone who could act, surely? And if Fern was in it. I'm just saying, if Fern was in playing you in the movie of your life, you want someone who can act. The film would be awful.
What are you saying about her acting?
Saying you'd get a better actor.
Fern Cotton.
Yeah.
She doesn't really do any acting though, does she?
No.
Does she?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. Don't be so offended. Look at Becky here.
Next.
What's your name?
Dan.
Dan. If there was a film about your life, who would play you?
Sylvester Stallone.
Gotta be. Why
gotta
him?
Be. Legend, isn't he? So.
He's a legend.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe who's the guy who plays Ian Beale?
What are you doing to me?
Right, so he says Sylvester Stallone. Dan thinks he'd be more Ian Beale. I like this. Next.
What's your name?
Ben.
If there's a film made about your life, who would star as you?
You could do it.
I could play you. Okay, maybe.
Colin Firth. He won an Oscar.
I was thinking maybe Ross Kemp. but you might know who that is. That doesn't matter.
Colin Firth.
I was thinking maybe Ross Kemp.
Quite brave with this.
I'd quite like to see Colin Firth on Gangs.
I would really like to see that. Yeah.
That would be brilliant.
Yeah. 20 points there if you said Colin Firth. There we are. Next. Who would play them in the movie of their life on Stupid Street?
What's your name?
Daisy.
If there's a film made about your life, who would play you?
Can I have a bloke?
Okay.
Can I have Sean Penn?
Sean Penn?
Because I absolutely adore him.
He's a good actor. Yeah. Do you think he could get the essence of
absolutely.
You?
Absolutely.
See, I like it. I like it if it was a bloke playing a girl in the movie of her life. It's good.
But if she really loves him, surely he should play her leading man, not her. That's a bit weird.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said Matt Lucas, and I went for Ellen DeGeneres. It's all fine.
Yeah, but I don't fancy Matt Lucas. Do you fancy Ellen?
Not so much.
What's your name?
Adam.
If there's a film made about your life, who would you like to play you?
De Niro, I think.
Robert De Niro?
Yeah.
Okay. He's a good actor, yeah.
Yeah, I like him.
I was thinking maybe Martin Clunes.
You think so?
But that was just me. But, okay, Robert De Niro, maybe.
Yeah.
Wow. I knew someone would say De Niro. Give yourself 20 points if you said Robert De Niro.
I should have got that one. I really should have got that one.
That is an obvious one. But I like it that Dan instead suggested Martin Clunes. Good work.
Why is he negging the men?
I don't know, but so smooth talking today.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Now, she is not one of the main characters on The Only Way is Essex, but you'll know if you listen to this show on a regular basis that Gemma is my absolute favourite. She is the car saleswoman on the show. And, you know, you can take all your Laurens and your Amys. For me, Gemma is the best one. And I know she's not a main one in it, but they need to put her in more because the ratings will absolutely fly if Gemma gets more airtime on The Only Way is Essex. I mean, all the others, you know, like stereotypically could be in Nuts or FHM.
Like Nanny Pat?
Not her. Oh, God, I just had a real bad image then, sorry.
You see, Nanny Pat was like the big one for me last series.
Yes.
But I think now Gems has overtaken her.
Love Gems. So she's the car saleswoman. She tweets me all the time. She loves that we mention her. Now, what they've done on the show is, obviously, she is a car saleswoman because it's real. But they've told her, look, you need to kind of define your role, Gemma. And I think she's taken it a little bit far because every car she sees, she has to over-infuse about it, even if she's not selling it.
What's happened? Where's the love affair between us gone? You was meant to be buying a BMW from me.
I'm sorry. It was a good sales pitch, but it surprised me my dad did.
Oh, bless
him. Didn't know nothing about it.
So Kirk's got a new car. His dad bought it for him. Gemma's like, well, why didn't you buy it from me? She's always 24/7. On about the cars.
Can I just say to you, I am totally loving the Revere body kit on the car.
Oh, and you know
the
what it is.
The 22-inch alloy wheels. Oh, my God, the privacy glass, the chrome. It's making me breathless. Brentwood is going to love you in this car.
Hopefully. Hope someone does.
You've cracked it.
Has privacy glass ever made you breathless before?
Well, I was going to say, depends which side of it you're on. But
oh,
anyway.
My God, the privacy glass, the chrome. It's making me breathless.
You're not selling a car now, Gems. Like, it's fine. He's already got the car. It's fine.
What are you doing out anyway?
Just going shopping for a bit.
We're going places tonight. Do you fancy coming?
Are you going to cruise down in the range?
Should I cruise down in the range?
Totally.
Yeah, always. Every sentence is about a car.
Are you going to cruise down in the range?
I love it that she calls it a range. He's got a massive white Range Rover, but obviously to Gems, because she knows all about the cars and that, she has to call it a range.
She knows about, well, she doesn't know about the wines and all that, but she does know about the cars and all that.
Are you going to cruise down in the range?
She calls it the range.
Look at him in the car posing, he's in love with it.
Isn't he though? He's in love with it.
But he doesn't look cool at all though, he just looks like he's an ex-policeman.
Yeah, he looks like he's borrowed Jordan's car and take it for a spin. Anyway, we love you, Gemma.
The Scott Mills Daily.
We are celebrating 20 years of Pete Tong this week on Radio 1. Special shows all night on Friday. And tonight at 9 o'clock, right after Zane, it is the A to Z of Pete Tong at 9 o'clock. Let's do our own one. So we'll go around in turn and we'll each get a letter. And then you tell me what you think that letter stands for. As we do our own version of the A to Z of Pete Tong before the actual one tonight at 9 o'clock on BBC Radio 1. Ready?
Does it have to relate to Pete Tong?
Is that a serious question?
Well, this is quite tricky.
It's called the A to Z of Pete Tong.
All right, I'm
so
just
yes,
asking.
It does have to relate to Pete, yeah.
All right.
Okay. A, are you ready for the weekend?
B, Bob Sinclair.
C, Cascada.
Was he a big champion of Cascada?
Yeah, surely he was. It's good dance music. Come on.
D is for Dong. Pete Dong lol.
E, everyone loves Pete Tong.
No.
What?
Can't have that.
Are you arguing with that?
Yes, I am.
Well, who
everyone
doesn't?
Loves Pete Tong for E.
Who doesn't?
You could have gone for E's are good, E's are good, Ebony's are good.
Okay, that.
Okay, good.
Oh, F. Friday. Mm.
Oh, good.
Because it's his favourite day of the week, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is a good one.
G for...
Gone Pete Tong.
It's all gone Pete Tong. Thank you.
Good one.
H, having it large.
Yeah, good.
I, in the mix.
That's good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You got J.
I know that.
All right.
I know what's next in the alphabet. Jaffa cakes. Because before every show, every Friday night for 20 years, Pete Tong eats half a packet of Jaffa cakes.
Wow.
What, the big tubes or the little box ones?
The little box ones, just to get him ready for the weekend.
Cool.
I could do a whole box.
I know, but that's you.
You've got K.
Nobby's Nuts. Oh, no, that's with an N, isn't
with
it?
With an N.
Koalas.
Why?
Because they're his favourite animal.
Right, I'm looking that up. I don't believe you.
He doesn't really like to talk about it. No, he doesn't really like to talk about it. Just move on to the next one.
Okay.
Lemonade and lime. His favourite mixer.
I can easily look these up on the internet if they're not right.
No, it's definitely right.
Me now. What am I at? M. Men Behaving Badly, a programme from the 90s that Pete Tong appeared in three times.
Wow.
Hey?
Starring Leslie Ash.
Did he?
Yeah.
Good fact.
N is obvious.
Is it?
Yes.
Go on then, say it.
The nun joke.
Yes!
Pete Tong's favourite joke.
Yes. Two nuns in a bath, one says to the other, "Where's the soap?" The other says, "Does rather, doesn't it?"
That is Pete Tong's favourite joke.
Oh, for God's sake. Is that real?
Yes, he
it's
absolutely loved that.
All right.
I don't text in saying I don't get it. This is 3 years old now. If you haven't got it now, there's no hope.
So I'm O now, am I? Ones and twos.
Very good. Pete. Because that's his name.
Okay. P-Q. Oh, am I on Q?
Yeah.
Oh, Q, he hates it. He hates queuing. He's a speedy boarder. And
well, why would you? He's Pete Tong.
Yeah, he doesn't queue.
He doesn't queue for anyone.
Yeah.
Ah, Robin of Batman and Robin. His favourite sidekick.
No, can you have R for rubbish dance music? Because he must have played some in his time. He's not always going to get it right, is he?
Yeah. In
20 years.
You're advertising Pete Tong by saying R is for rubbish dance music.
We've all played songs we've regretted.
Are you dancing?
All right.
Yeah, you can have that
in text talk.
S, you know what S is.
S is for Smurf because
yes.
We went to Mallorca and we did our show there and Pete Tong had to be chained to one of our listeners who was all blue, painted blue, and was dressed up as a Smurf.
He still says that was the best day of his life.
He loved it. He didn't talk to the person at all, but... He was chained to him for quite some time.
What?
He was too busy DJing, he couldn't have time to talk to him, but he was chained to a Smurf for a couple of, well, about a day, was it?
It was a good amount of time not to speak to someone.
That is one of my career highlights so far. That and Joe Wiley with the sex cannon on stage.
T is for Tongy, obviously.
Tongy.
Mm. U is for... Unicorn, yeah? You go for it. Unicorn is his favourite... fantasy animal.
Where am I now?
V.
Village People, his favourite dance act from the 70s, and he was the first person ever on radio to play YMCA.
Wow.
He had the world exclusive back in the day. W?
Wheelie Bins.
Which he does have outside his house.
No, because he does that thing in the office. Is it the big ones behind the door in the specialist office where he likes to hide and surprise people?
Oh, yeah.
Annie, I don't think Annie Nightingale surprise. Likes it very much.
He's been
doing
it for 20 years.
When he jumps out, everyone knows what? About it now. It's just one of those things where he's in the bin and everyone's like, oh, yeah, Pete is in there. And every time it pops out like one of those jack-in-the-box, and ah, ta-da!
Chris, you don't know this. He's Radio 1's original prankster. No one's
really?
Safe when he's in the office.
Pops out, Pete Dong, lol.
Yeah.
Back in. And he's like, oh, God, Pete, not again.
X.
I'm trying to think of a word beginning with X, to be honest.
Xylophone.
Right.
Which he did play once on Black Box Ride on Time. Why?
That's you, Scott.
Yeah, Pete. Roll another fat one. Oh, that's Dave Pearce.
That's Dave.
Okay, and just gloss over Y. And Zed.
Zorba's Dance.
That'll do. So, listen to the much better A to Z of Pete Tong tonight at 9 o'clock. On Radio 1 Stories. 20 years on Radio 1. Incredible. We really should have had V as Vanessa Feltz. One of Pete Tong's first snogs. Lol.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Radio 1 Podcast. That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.